his glory just to walk with him whose blood has ransomed me. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I sing my way through life. The Holy Spirit reminds me these lines from songs. That's just okay. I just like to take a look at who's all here and the gang's all here. Wave at everybody. Whoever's out on live streaming, I know a couple of you. There's Parker running barefoot up the aisle. Hey, that's great. I like barefoot. His daddy snatched him back. Oh, goodness. Jill, would you come up before we get started? Rufus and Karen's mom is in the hospital. That's Jill's mother-in-law, and I'd like Jill to pray for her and just anyone else. Let me see a hand. Do you have anyone that's battling some illnesses? Not you, but some physical attacks or illnesses and needs prayer. Let me see some hands. Anyone? Yeah, so we got quite a few. All right, this is, we're going to all get in agreement for everybody to get what they need.
Father, we just thank you that we can come to you and cast all our cares before you and just bask in the glory of your love for us and do this with praise and rejoicing for that endurance that from the time that the healing manifests that we just endure it with grace and joy. So Father, we just lift up all the needs for healing right now to you, Father, that your word says that by his stripes we were healed, and we just claim that promise for those that are seeking a healing, Father, and we just thank you that your word says that you wish above all things that we would be in good health and prosper as our soul prospers, Father, and it's your will that we be healed, and we just thank you, Father, that we can cling to that promise. And we claim your promise of protection, Father, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And we just rest in the battle that we come against, that's been coming against us, Father. And we just thank you that as the time passes and the healing manifests, that we can just surrender that all over to you, Father, in glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. The best way out of things is to pray your way out, right? Minister to other people. It was my honor yesterday to officiate a wedding here. Jeff's second cousin, Brett Sealer, if you may know Brett, he's been here through the years, married his fiancée, Michelle. So we had a packed house yesterday and a fun time at the wedding. So it's always, you know, life is, you know, people are dying and sleeping in Jesus, and people are being born, and people are being married, and, you know, things are just all over the place, and Jesus is in it all, right? Father's overall. So during the past year, several of our good friends have transitioned into sleeping in Jesus. It says that in 1 Thessalonians 4. They're waiting for Jesus Christ to return, but I love that, sleeping in Jesus. I talked about this at the family camp a little bit. I said sleeping with Jesus, and they all started laughing. I said, well, I didn't really mean it that way, but whatever way makes you feel okay, sleeping in or sleeping with, you choose. But I thought about our Nancy and Ken Schneider and Brent Joseph's dad in the middle of our camp this year, our young people's camp, and our beloved John Kelly. And two of those folks were battling physical attacks, and two were caught unaware by the thief. And this is what has followed as I look back. Why? Well, get them up already. Do you know how many phone calls I get? Well, get over there and get them up. I'm like, I'm going. I got to get on a plane. Let me get there. But God has told me or showed me this. That goes along with the why. This was not the plan. Anybody been there on any of those questions? Well, this is what we do when these questions pile up. It's in Romans 15:4. 15:4 and 5 in the NIV. It says, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have what? Hope." And so I appreciate that the Holy Spirit directs and guides me. I appreciate that he does that with other people too. But we're still weak of the flesh. And so we see through a glass darkly, it says, right? God's changing us from glory to glory. And we have to yield to the Holy Spirit, and we have to always come back to what the scripture is saying. And sometimes you may have seen this from God or heard this from the Father. Do you know the timing? Maybe you didn't get it all. I don't know. But we can't cling to "the Lord told me this." In some of these crisis situations, you've got to go back to what the Word says. And that answers all the questions. Jesus answers all things. Why? Because he knew the scripture. He knew the scripture. I can't wait to get in his presence, because you know what? You'll know things just for being in his presence. Do you know what I'm talking about? I expect that to happen around you. Whenever I'm around Mike and Judy or even Joey, different people, how they minister and how the Holy Spirit moves in them, it will get on you. And you will start having abilities in the Spirit you didn't even know you had, because you're with them. And it's the same for you. Well, we ought to start expecting that. We're not just waiting until Jesus comes, right? It's going on now. But the standard that Jesus set was that he yielded to the Holy Spirit, and he yielded to what the scripture said. He knew that. He didn't go get on one thing and just say, "Well, whatever, I'm just going to stick on this." You have to be led. What does this mean, and what shall we do? What does this mean, and what shall we do? Well, this is always what comes to my mind. It's Romans 8:38. It's in the King James, 8:38 through 39. And when I got out to the camp in New Hampshire, well, that was what kept coming to my spirit, was Romans 8:38 and 39 in the King James. "For I am what? Persuaded." That is beyond, "Well, I know. Somebody told me. I heard a thing." Persuaded does not mean it's a flyaway thing. It is, I am rock solid, persuaded. I know that I know you're never going to change my mind on this. How solid are we about this? "That neither death, nor what? Life, nor angels," specifically devil spirit angels that have fallen, "nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall" what? "Be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." What did Jesus say to us? He said, "I'm above all the principalities and powers. I have the authority." Remember, Jesus is in the highest place. Amen. Jesus is in the highest place. And there's this area of death that we have fallen back, at least I have, and I'm going to address it because I see it from the world, and we fall back because of emotion, because we haven't really gone after this persuasion that we're not separated from the Father and from Jesus. Jesus has us the whole time. He is in the highest place. He has the authority. He has the power. He's conquered death. Like, we have to address some of these practical things as we go. And we're going to talk about some different things. What's the why? Because of the fall of man, we know death happens for mortal bodies if Jesus is not returning in our lifetime. Wayne and I were talking about this on the phone. He said, "If you read the scriptures, it's practically a promise." I said, "Well, yeah, I guess so. The Lord's good enough to say, this is what's going to go down. But, Jesus is in the highest place." We know a third of the angels fell, and they're not holy in any way, that third. And they're looking for opportunity. They're looking for opportunity. Look at John 10:10. You know this, I'm sure. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I, Jesus, am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So there's the why. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I love how God bookends the negatives in his word with his authority and with what he ordains and sets. Look at verse 9. It says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. That is Jesus. Jesus says, I am the door. Before God brings up anything about the thief and killing and destroying, he establishes Jesus again and says, look, he's the door that you'll be saved. You'll go in and out and you'll find pasture. For death, I will find pasture, the shepherd. Then look at 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Amen. Look how God bookended Jesus on that. If the word was big enough, it would be enough. It would be enough. That's why we have to go back and say, show me what I'm not seeing. There's always got to be more. If we ever get to the point that, well, I've got that, I know that. Well, you may know an in part. And you know, so many times we think, well, I'm good. It's not about me. Are we shepherds? We're called to be shepherds like Jesus. It's about helping the other people. I'll have to teach that sometime about in Romans where it says we're called to clear the path for people. To help clean up the messes and clear things up. But we are always with the shepherd. We're not separated from the shepherd. Nancy, Ken, Seth, John, Judy, Graham, Juan Cabrera, they're not separated from the shepherd. God is over all. Jesus is in it all. So we've got to grab our minds and not let it override what we know to be true. In Hebrews 2, 14, this is NIV, 14 and 15 in Hebrews, since the children have flesh and blood, he too, Jesus, shared in their humanity so that by his death, he might what? Break the power. He broke the power of him who holds the power of death. That is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death or bondage. Listen, it says the devil holds the power of death. He doesn't hold me. Are we straight on this? There is no break. Jesus holds me. Jesus has me. Jesus is with me. He holds the power of death, but we so often we just lose it. We just flip out because we look at what we're seeing. Jeff and I have had this talk with our children. I don't care what state you come upon me in. And I was graphic. Like if I'm laying there, blood everywhere, my head is over here. I mean, I've had two of my good friends decapitated in accidents. And that was how they died. Let's talk about how all the disciples died. It wasn't pretty. But the devil tries to freeze us with what we see. That is not what is going on with my Holy Spirit. Right? That's not what we look at. But that's where everybody gets this fear comes in of, how's it going to go? What's it going to look like? Am I going to be in pain? What about this? I always think of this gentleman from Father of Lights, the video. You can watch it on Amazon probably or YouTube. The Indian gentleman. So sweet. So kind. This is just in the last 10 years, being persecuted for being a Christian, and they were burning him with cigarettes. And he's so calm. And they're saying, oh, the pain, and they're asking him, you know, really stirring trauma is what they're trying to focus on. And he's, oh, no, I see Jesus, and he hugged me, and I just cry every time I think, I see that guy. Every time they burned him with the cigarette, he didn't feel pain. He didn't know anything except he saw in spiritual vision Jesus hugging him. And you don't think God did a thing for Jesus, for the joy that was set before him of what was to come? Man, if the word is big enough, it's enough. And then we have Jesus on top of that, the word in the flesh. Woo, we should be so joyful. Oh my gosh. So what drives out the fear? What drives out fear? It says perfect love casts out fear. That's why we will not let up or back up from hanging on to the shepherd, because Jesus is the word in the flesh. He is the perfect theology that we hear about. He is perfection. And that, when you're with Jesus, mouth, vision, heart, then it drives this stuff away. That's why that Indian gentleman didn't even have pain. Nothing. No torture could interfere with what Jesus was doing for him. I don't care if you're on a ventilator. I don't care. We can go look at Job. He talks all the time about death. Let me see. Go to Job 19. I think it's in 25 through 27. Let's just see. Do NIV, Job 19. I think it's 25. There. Look what Job says. And you should read the whole chapter of 19. He has a whole lot to say about death. And he says this, I know that my Redeemer, what? Lives. And that in the end, he will stand on the earth. Well, I think he knew a little bit about the resurrection, don't you? And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh, I will see God. Wow. Now that says something. No matter what. No matter what. We can build on the scriptures, and the scriptures build the life of Christ, and then your believing goes from impossible to reality. To reality. So on August 20th, I got a call. I got some communication. I think it was from Kevin from family camp that John was in a need of immediate prayer for his life. And when anybody sends me prayer, I consider it life or death, because when there's a need, remember the thief? Remember the dark fallen angels? They're looking for opportunity, because we know God's good all the time. Well, why did this happen? Why did this happen? Why did that accident? Because they're looking for opportunity. They like to make assignments. They're patient. It took me a couple of hours to get the next text that was, listen, we now need to raise him from the dead. And we didn't hesitate or falter. It took me a day to cancel California and get out to Ellen and the camp out there. And I was pleasantly surprised when I walked onto the grounds and everyone was in praise. They were in high expectation. They're on the second day of camp. And they are like, we're in this thing. God is all over this. We got Jesus with us. This is going down. Everybody was in. They were in agreement with Matthew 10, 7 through 8 in the NIV. Matthew 10, 7 says, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse the lepers. Cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And I'm telling you, the whole camp was after it. From Larry and Pam Barnacle overseeing it with Ellen and AJ, to Emily Dotson, the 90-year-old guest speaker. They were ministering Ellen and Emily for 20-something minutes before they took John away. It reminds me of when we were here for the conference last fall. And Ken was just absolutely, you know, it was the thief. It was just suddenly. And I'm telling you, when the squad came, I looked at that guy and I said, well, you know what? We raise people from the dead here, so you keep doing what you need to do, and we're going to keep doing what we need to do. And that's how it went. And they were gracious. And then when we went to the funeral home for 5 hours to raise him up, Kevin and Sarah were overseeing the camp, and they were in praise first. They were in praise. They were in prayer. They were in communion. They had expectation. I mean, it was full on. Everybody was engaged. And everybody knew that either way, we are raised from the dead. Like, do you understand? We're raised from the dead right now. Like, that is our reality. So when you face the worst, you can deal with whatever comes, because God flipped it for good. God flipped it for good. Listen, Jesus says we're seated in the heavenlies and we're not dead in trespasses. So how do we navigate these situations that come? Well, we have to keep asking the Holy Spirit what to do. And I want to show you in Scripture how diverse the Father handles death. He shows us a lot of different things and scenarios about what can go on. But when things happen, we've got to keep talking to the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit teaches you. What is going on? What will we know? I mean, when I was going to the funeral home, we were in the praise time at the camp, and then about 8 or 10 of us had to leave to go to the funeral home. I'm sitting there, what are we going to know there, Father? That was my question. What are we going to know there? And he gave me, I wrote down what he told me. I'm not going to tell you. There were several steps, several things. One of the things he said, I wasn't quite sure what it meant. As it went, I figured out what it meant. And at the one point, what I thought it meant was right now. No, it was a different time. I just assumed it was right now. Nope, that wasn't it. When I went back and I said, well, God, how could this be? You said this, but I don't think this is what's happening. I didn't say when. Oh, yeah, okay. Listen, he's way smarter, right? He's way smarter. He's always got another question or another revelation for us. So we need the Scripture, and we need direction and discernment from the Holy Spirit. That's how we navigate. Let's not just lock into something. And if you want to get me fired up, let's start talking about, you know, the devil's coming to get me. Like, I'm not doing that. We know there's a thief. We know that. But we cannot be afraid of, the demons are coming. The devil is coming. Whoa, the devil's trying to kill me. Yeah, it's not a good place to start with your head. And as a minister and as a nurse, I've been involved in a lot of people facing the transition to death or sleeping in Jesus. And we come boldly to the throne. But let me say this, we don't command God. We don't command him. Now, I can remind him of everything he's promised. Him and Jesus, I say, now listen, you know, the Scripture's saying this. I'm getting in agreement. This is what I want. But sometimes we cross over into this, I'm telling you, and this is what we're doing, blah, blah, blah. Anybody else ever been there? Or is that just me? And all of a sudden you realize it's like talking to your mother, and she's standing there looking at you like, and she doesn't even have to say anything. You're like, oh, I might have overstepped myself. Anybody else ever done that? She's looking at me like, oh my goodness. There was not a whole lot of spanking in our house. My mother was a very calm, peaceful lady, but when she raised her voice, it was like, it was like the Lord had spoken. And we got on top of it. Oh, goodness. Let's look at Luke 23:46 in the NIV. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And when he had said this, he breathed his last. Hebrews 11 in the NIV, verse 1. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that is what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. Verse 35, skip to 35. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. These are all the different things. Look at Deuteronomy 34, NIV, verse 5. Deuteronomy 34, 5. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab in the valley opposite Beth Peor. But to this day, no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. Now look at that. Was there an angel of death come to get him and some demons going to take him out? No. I think my ask for that. When I read the stuff, I start asking folks, you have not because you ask not. Ask that your joy may be full. Why don't we have a talk with the Lord about how we want to transition into sleeping in Jesus? Instead of leave that all just some question mark, because when there's a question mark that doesn't end with Jesus, the devil just waltzes right in and has a field day. Right? Eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Here's another one. And this is, oh my goodness, this is Hezekiah. I didn't write where it was. Where's Hezekiah? Second Chronicles, I'm in verse 1. Give it a try, guys. Second Chronicles 18:1. I'll read it to you. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him and said, "This is what the Lord says." Now listen. The Lord's talking to him about death. He says, put your house in order because you're going to die and you will not recover. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Remember, Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah. Go and tell Hezekiah, this is what the Lord, the God of your father, David, says. Now listen, you don't need to have a prophet come tell you today, do you? I mean, he can do that. But he can speak directly to you. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears, and I will add 15 years to your life. You know, God allows for free will. He's not a fatalistic kind of God. When you read about appointed times to die, he still allows for the choices that we make. He doesn't do fatalism. That's not the kind of God we have. And I will deliver you in this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. Look at this in verse 7. This is the Lord's sign to you that the Lord will do what he has promised. I will make the shadow cast by the sun go back the 10 steps it has gone down on the stairway of Ahaz. So the sunlight went back the 10 steps it had gone down. Now, who holds time? God holds time. So don't even tell me that when I fall asleep and it says, we're going to look at those where it says there's no consciousness in that day, that in that transition, God can't do a thing for me on the way to sleeping in Jesus. I mean, just like that. Just like that. What could I see? Ask John in Revelation. What did he see? I'm going to look at this one before we get there. Acts 7:59 in the NIV. Let's start in 54. When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Oh, Lord, let's all ask for that right now. Lord, we'll take that one. I don't care what's going on. Sound good to you? Well, how would I see that? Oh, let's, in the spirit, people. Nobody else has to see it. It's as real as real. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And at this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him. Dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Now see, as a believer, where are you at that moment? What is going on? Where's your head going? Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. And while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And it says there was great lamenting over Stephen, like they did with Moses. So we know that for a time, you know, all those folks that I've named and for others that have fallen asleep, there is great lamenting. There is sadness. You know, it's missing people, even when you know the truth, even when you know what's to come. Remember, we're not separated from the shepherd. Psalm 23 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." It's a shadow, and I'm walking on through, folks. "I will fear no evil, for who? Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." You know, those are things I can't answer. How does that comfort me? Like, that's where trust comes in, faith comes in. God is over all, Jesus is in it all. So we got to grab a hold of our minds. Let's look at Psalm 146:4. This is King James. "His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, and in that very day his thoughts perish." In that very day. I like that's a day there. It says in James 2:26 in King James, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." So a lot of folks like to teach that there's consciousness in the grave. And a lot of folks go back and forth on this. And I finally said, "Lord, you know, I want something real easy here. Like, what is going on?" And what's happening is people interchange the soul and the spirit. They just flip it all around. They just interchange it back and forth. And the word's very clear in Hebrews 4:12. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit." It is different. You hear me? "And of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So I know that God holds time. He can do what he wants. Jesus, well, they're going to teach on that September 22nd in Connecticut or New Jersey, one of the places, Alpha and Omega. And so when I don't know it all, you have to go with what the scripture's teaching. I'm open to more if there's more. But I know last year the Lord was very clear about this communicating with the dead. We spent 4 weeks on that, the topic of death. But this communication with the dead stuff, and you know what? I don't know what God's going to do before you see Jesus. Maybe he's going to give you a tour of the Believer's Hall of Fame. Maybe you get to go see everybody that's sleeping. See what pajamas they're wearing. I don't know. But it's sleeping in Jesus, folks. And there's so many verses about this consciousness thing that I really think we need to grab our minds about it. And if it's just because you want to feel good about something, then that's foolishness. Because what it will do is it will distract people from the shepherd. Because then they're going to start talking to their grandma and talking to their daddy and not to Jesus. And if that's the only thing I've got to hold on to, I'll stop there. Because we are not called to divert anyone from Jesus. You know, and I said to the kids, by all means, get me up. By all means, go for it. Somebody said, "Well, now, if you said we shouldn't talk to the dead, are we supposed to try to get them up from the dead?" I'm like, "Oh, stop already. Just go for it." Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead on the third day. Reinhard Bonnke had a gentleman that he was preaching a meeting upstairs in Africa, and this guy had been embalmed for over 3 days, and they brought him into the basement. Reinhard didn't even know the guy was down there. They literally, he got up from the dead, embalmed. Embalmed. It's a great, he gives his testimonies all over, testimony. Well, he's got multiple now, but, you know, and they talked about that the first thing they saw is they thought they saw his chest rising. But he was so stiff from the embalming that he couldn't, and then all of a sudden he tried to move his head, and it took him a while to get him out of that stiff embalming stuff. And they were talking about, well, maybe we need to take him to the doctor, and maybe we should do this. And his wife is there, and she steps forward, and she said, "The God that started this will complete it." And he sat up. Well, looky there. Just when we think we've got a conclusion, we don't know. What does this mean, and what shall we do? Oh, it says in Psalm 31 in the NIV, "But I trust," in verse 4, "but I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands." And then it says, deliver me from the hands of mine enemies, for those who pursue me. And death is in pursuit. It says the thief is, you know, the lion is looking to freeze his prey, and those things are in pursuit. Well, we just can't be afraid of this stuff. And you got to get some people around you. And if you're older, have some talks with your kids. Say, listen here. And if you don't have any children, then you call me. You call somebody who's in the faith. I've got somebody that said, I need you to be the executor of my estate. I'm like, well, okay. And I don't have a husband, and I don't have kids, and my brother's trying to kill me. I'm like, okay, this is okay. I just didn't say anything. But I know if something happens to me, that you will come and get me up. And I have put some money in there to even fly you wherever you need to go. I said, okay, where do I sign? Amen. Hey, if I'm walking down the street, you know, your body's weak. You get one body, I don't know when it's going to wear out. If something wears out and I fall down, well, bless God, he better have a believer coming along there to pray and stand in the gap and, you know, get me up, whatever needs to happen. And if not, the angels will come and pick me up, whether you see it or not. They're going to escort my spirit to sleeping in Jesus. How many times, if you would start asking to see angels, folks, I'm just telling you, you're going to start seeing some things. You might want to be careful who you tell. But they're there. They are at, when people are at, where were, what was around Jesus when he was on the cross being crucified? What was there in the background at his beck and call? They were there. There is no place that you're going to tell me that devil spirits are showing up to try and run things and overtake God's people, and the angels aren't there or coming. Amen. Even if he's the prince of the power of the air, if my Holy Spirit's got to get through the air to get to sleeping in Jesus, then the angels are going to take me there, and we're not going to have this prince of Persia battling for 21 days like in Daniel. Right? I'm going to get a full royal escort. Judy's in agreement. Here, Mike, too. Amen. But it's really important to teach the generations. You can know what you know, but who's going to be around you when you're 90 or 60 or whatever? And it always intrigues me how people, well, they just died too young. They died. And it does say in the scriptures, you should fulfill your days. It says you should fulfill your days. I don't believe God's called us to die. But sometimes people, they fall asleep when they're 80, and people are like, oh, this, I can't believe this happened. I'm like, well, you know, their body, they're just kind of wearing out there. Did you forget all that smoking and drinking and partying thing they did like for like 79 years? I don't know. A lot of people get miracles and live past. My father-in-law had a miracle back in his 30s. He fell asleep in Jesus at 65. I just thought that was way too young and wasn't fair. And then I kind of got reminded of the miracle he got back in his 30s. He got extra years. Who knows the heart of a man save for God? Remember we read that verse about the Spirit discerns the hearts and thoughts of a man? Let me say this to you, to all of us. Have you cried out to God? Do you know what everybody else has cried out to God? And I'm not talking just at the last breath, but what about throughout their life? Because I can think of Jai Murphy Hennessy falling asleep in my living room. I can think of these other ones, Nancy, Seth Joseph, John, whoever I named. I know them. They had talks with God. And I can think of Ken and Nancy and John especially, and no, even Juan Cabrera, fell asleep doing what they loved. They were in the middle of ministering, preaching, teaching, surrounded by believers. Well, I'm telling you, that sure beats falling down in the middle of the road somewhere by yourself. Of course, we know Jesus is there and the angels are there, but my goodness, I don't really want to relive a camp like I was at. But the thing absolutely was one of the greatest camps I've ever been to. I mean, wouldn't you say, Kevin, Sarah? I mean, it was just phenomenal. The Lord did a thing for everybody. Look what it says in Psalm 90, verse 10 in King James. The days of our years are 70 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off. And look at this, and this is in every translation that I found in English. And we fly away. Think about that song from West Virginia. I always think it's a West Virginia song, but I'll fly away, oh Lordy, I'll fly away. Great song, eh? When the by and by, I'll fly away. I always think it's West Virginia's song, but I don't know. It's my song now. It says in Ecclesiastes 12:7, King James, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Fly away. Let's look at Revelation 21 in the NIV. Let's start in verse 1. So we've got to expect, allow, and enter into. We got to let the shepherd shepherd. Let him call his angels. Let him do what he needs to do. We are not in some black hole for some period of time floating in the galaxies waiting for, you know, the devil to get finished flipping us around so Jesus can come by and pick us up. No, that's not happening. I like how Harv Plattig, sleeping in Jesus. He's the first one I heard say it that. I mean, it just struck a chord in me when I asked him about what he thought about death. What's going on? He looked right at me from across the table and he went like this. He goes, we're sleeping in Jesus. Just like that. Jesus has us. We're sleeping in Jesus. I was just so good right then. Just so good. I've watched people fall to the ground and they should have been injured, and you knew an angel just laid them onto the ground. Just like a little feather. Let's look at Revelation 21, NIV, verse 1. Now listen, this is John, and I'm telling you, this is a tour of heaven. I have already put my name on the top of the list for the tour of heaven before I'm sleeping in Jesus. You know, it's like the White House. I bet it fills up quick, so you better put your order in. I'm going to get a little tour first. I said, Lord, then I saw a new heaven. This is spiritual vision. Heck, I want to see it now. But you can read it and go right into it. What really triggered me to this is I was literally in the ocean on Wednesday. It was very hot. And I met a lady, and I was just chatting away with her, and I said, well, what is your name? And her name was Beryl. And I said, isn't that biblical? She goes, yeah, but nobody else knows it. And I was like, "Where?" I didn't ask her where it was and all that. And I said, well, that's a great name. She said, I'm the only one I know. And we're going to see. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. Just keep rolling. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. You know, that means God can tell you some things to write down and it be trustworthy and true. And you don't have to tell anybody. He who was seated on the throne said, I am May. Yeah, I'm like, where are we at, guys? He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. I'm going to keep going. Just jump. I want to the part. I want to get to Beryl. Let's jump. Go to 9. Oh, look at the angels. And 10. And 11. And it shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a precious jewel, like a jasper clear as crystal. It had a great high wall. Oh, this goes on and on. Go to 13. I'm looking for Beryl. 14. Give her some honor. 15. Oh my gosh. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city. I want to talk to that angel. It's gates and walls. I want it all, Lord. Bring it all. 16 is in 20. All right, keep going. 17. Oh, there we go. The fifth onyx, the sixth ruby. Go to 19. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth ruby, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth, there it is, beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth turquoise, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. What's 21? Oh, look at that. We got pearls now. And there, the street of the city was of gold, as pure as transparent glass. Like I was meditating on that last night. Gold being transparent as glass. Like what? I couldn't even like get my head around that. Now that's something to take a tour of, wouldn't you say? I want a tour of that for I'm sleeping in Jesus. And you know what? Those things are comforting. And if you are one of the persons that thinks, well, the minute I breathe my last breath, that's it. I'm just instantly asleep. Well, you should be as good as gold with that too. Why not? Why not? But I will get in your face and say, you better talk to the Lord about the before part, that right before part. The right before part. You know, how many times does someone, the thief comes and something tragic, it's a tragic thing. Too early, too young. Very violent, whatever it is. And people just love to talk about it. It's almost like PTSD, and then your mind keeps flipping back to that. Like you literally have to minister to yourself to erase the hard drive. Like you have to be careful about what kind of movies you see, because it'll mess with your Holy Spirit. It'll mess with your vision. Then you'll be having dreams and seeing that kind of crazy stuff, and not this stuff. Oh, I'm good. Okay, you be good. We had that talk about Seth the other week, remember? I'm afraid. And the Lord said he was watching Jaws. Oh, but I love Jaws. That's my favorite movie, Mommy. I love that shark. Oh, it's so great. Those people, they're not real. It's okay. But yet, it still brought fear. Even though he thinks, I'm okay. Dun-dun. I heard that Steven Spielberg and Richard Dreyfuss would never go into the ocean after that movie. No, I heard them talk about it themselves on a video, like a documentary, like 10 years later. What? What is that? They need to start reading some Revelation. Imagine what Steven Spielberg could do with some of those scriptures on the jewels and those kind of things. Well, I got to say this. We're in kingdom care. We're not in hospice care. Amen. That was a word from the Lord last night. Kingdom care, not hospice care. Oh, they put you in hospice to die. Oh, stop. Jesus is in the highest place. I don't care if you're laying in a bed and you can't move anything. You've got a Holy Spirit. You've got consciousness. You can be on full-on revelation and vision with the Lord. And it says, Hebrews 1:14 in the NIV, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? At camp one day, their word from the Lord was this: fear may come, but it can't stay. And we're going to whisper because it doesn't deserve full voice. And that is how it comes. It does whisper. Fear may come. Let's hear it. But it can't stay. That's how we got to get out of it. Death may come, but I'm not there, but it can't stay, right? I'm going. Death may come, but I'm flying away. Amen? I heard Seth was watching something this morning. He was working on his iPad, and he was talking to Jeff, and I heard him, and it was something where somebody died on some kind of game or something he was looking at, and he might have been talking to my mom, and she was asking questions about it. And he said, oh, I won't be there. I'll be in the, did he say the sky? Do you remember what he said? He said, I'll be in the clouds. That's what he said. I'll be in the clouds. I thought, yes, it's sticking. It's sticking. We need it to stick, everybody. Oh, my goodness. So here we go. You know what? We'll say 1 Thessalonians. You can read 1 Thessalonians 4. It's great about comfort one another with these words. We'll hear it again in the next couple of weeks. But let's close with Romans 8:38. And we're going to say it together. Let's do it in the King James. Romans 8. Let's remind ourselves. Jesus has me. Jesus has me. King James, he has it up there. We're going to do 38 through 39. Are you ready? Let's go. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's a big amen, isn't it? All we need to do is get in agreement. I agree in the name of Jesus. I'm taking mine. And I really expect you to have a little conference with the Lord about how your life is going and to address all of it. He knows the beginning from the end. He watches the choices we make. Sometimes we need to repent in there and say, hey, Lord, I need a new body. I need you to give me some creative miracles for some new organs or body pieces. I know I did some crazy stuff. You know, just give me a restoration, right? Don't hold guilt over yourself or condemnation over yourself. Like, none of that can stand in the presence of Jesus. We just get in agreement and we ask. And then we know, like, it's so cool. Like, we should be so excited. Like, I don't want to die, but I know it's coming someday. But if I'm with Jesus, and like, look at just reading Revelation that we saw. Oh my gosh, what a surprise is coming. Like, that beats reading that any cake I've ever eaten. The decorated cake. That's better than any wedding cake that you've seen. There's surprises coming because of how good it will be. And I am not going to fall back on what I see or what my body is failing to be. It doesn't hold any weight with Jesus. So, are we in agreement?
Yes.
We are. So we're going to end with our all-time favorite. Taylor loves it. Every camp, we just love it. We could say it's our church song. I don't know, between that and it as well. I don't know. We'll have to go back and forth, a duel. But we're going to do Strong Love, the live version, which is these two verses. And, you know, we want to rejoice. We're going to get up. We're going to rejoice. We're with Jesus now and for all eternity, and he has ushered us into the throne room. We're in the presence. Holy Spirit, come, do a thing. Do whatever you want to do. We're in it for the long eternity, right, guys?
Yes.
Amen. So on October 6th, we're going to have a celebration of life here for John Kelly. And it's going to be a big time. And we'll probably need all your help because I think a lot of folks are going to come. And, you know, there was a lot of disappointment for people. Well, if anybody was going to get up from the dead, it was going to be John. What the heck? I said, yep, I was with you. I was in all that. But at some point, the Lord says, he's sleeping. And he lets the family know. And I will say that to you, too. If you're in those situations, you keep asking God, and you let God have the final say. And that happened to me in one experience, where we're going full on to raise this person from the dead, and finally I'm like, God, what's going on? And if this person's coming back, they need to come back fully restored. I mean, like, what's going on? We're an hour or something into this. And he says, you'll see him at the return. You know, he speaks to you in your language, the way you understand. You'll see him at the return. I thought, oh, Lord, I'm not even saying that. I don't want that on me. And I looked right at the wife. I said, ask God what he's saying right now. And that's who, for her, that's who she needed to hear from. And she hesitated and she said, I'll see him at the return. And I said, that's it. And God told her, it didn't weigh on, it wasn't me. And so whatever he tells you, then he'll tell you how to get it through to whoever you're around, because that is that's a family thing. That's a family thing. And he'll tell you what to do and how to do it. And you'll know. But we know as we go, and we keep asking, What does this mean and what shall we do? In great expectation, because Jesus is in the highest place and nothing separates us from the shepherd. So sure love you guys.
No angels, no powers, present things or things in the future. Heights, nor depth, nor any created thing could separate me from your love. Death, no life, no angels, no powers, present things or things in the future.
Christian Family Fellowship Ministry would like to thank you for listening to this recording of our Sunday service. If you would like to partner with us in your giving, you can go to www.cffm.org and use the Give tab, or you can use your cell phone and text to give at area code 937-502-2999. All donations to Christian Family Fellowship are tax deductible. If you'd like to receive free CDs of our weekly service, you can register on our webpage under the Contact Us tab. They are also available as a podcast on iTunes, or you can download them or listen to them on our webpage. Thank you for your generosity and support for the broad efforts of Christian Family Fellowship Ministry, as together we bring God's Word and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ to our world.